Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
This is Michael B., and I am your host for the Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas. And my show is over an hour late today because I had some personal stuff I had to take care of this morning. And I'm being challenged right now. I'm being challenged in my life. Friday was a tough day for me. I'm told that my regular job is ending June 30th instead of the end of the year, which I was prepared for and making preparations for. And also, late Friday night, I decided that I was going to move out and leave my wife. And so, June 10th, I get my own apartment, and 20 days later, if I don't find a new job, I'll be on unemployment. And, you know, it's funny. It's not even 48 hours since I signed the lease for my new apartment, and it feels like I did it a week ago. It feels like time just stopped. Time just stopped. I can't believe that it's only Monday. I mean, it's not even 48 hours, and time has stopped. You ever notice when things are going good, and you're hopeful, and you can't wait to start the next day, how time just flies? The seconds on a watch are not moving any faster. The time-space continuum is still rolling along as it always does. But it seems that the weeks and the months and the years just fly. And then when you're hit in the gut with something, time just stops. And, you know, for those of you that don't like me, no, she didn't cheat on me, nothing like that. It's just that we just don't line up. And as I have been talking about here and there, when you go outside of your faith and you go outside of your belief system, if two people cannot handle the differences and come to some sort of middle ground, the relationship is going to blow up. And when you don't make your intimate relationship a number one priority, it's in deep jeopardy to fail. And I'll never forget, obviously, more than a year ago, Donald Trump was being interviewed on, it was some Christian family thing, I forgot the name of it, and the guy brought up that he was divorced twice, And Donald Trump took responsibility for that. He clearly stated that he put his work first. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't cheat on his wives or anything of that nature. But he would not. See, you can't. There's no such thing as can't. He would not devote the time to his relationship that was needed and that was expected. So, in that course of events, his marriages ended. And he learned. He learned. He said he made it a point to make the time for his marriage. Make the time and make it a priority to be there for the wife and the kids, to have dinner with them, all of that. And, you know, so far, you know, his marriage is going strong. And, you know, I know that I made the changes. I know that I did the work, and I know that I made it a priority. And when you know, we know the definition of insanity. When you do the same things over and over again, you are going to get the same results. I mean, it's just fact. And, you know, after 3 years, 3 months, and exactly 3 weeks, there were enough signs. There were just enough signs that we were not on the same page. And our belief systems are different. She's a psychic. She's into spiritism. The Bible talks about it. And I've seen it, quite frankly, with my own eyes. And this morning, I got even another sign. And now I'm even going to revamp and say, not only should you not have personal relationships with people outside of the faith, don't do business with people outside of the faith either. Because there's a huge chance that they're not going to have the same morality, ethics, and integrity that you have. There's a chance, right? And the more I believe that, the chance increases when someone is outside the faith and doesn't believe that this, excuse me, little agitated, so excuse me for the burping. There's more of a chance that they're not going to have the same level of integrity as you if they don't believe that there is a higher power to answer to, and that there are not going to be eternal consequences. So, excuse me again, folks. Again, there's a chance that the business dealing, and it's not a huge dealing, but it was something special that I had made, and it just didn't end right. It's okay, but it's just another life lesson that, you know, the Bible does tell you who to associate with, who to be around. It does tell you to beware of the choices that you make. And when you go outside of the faith, chances are higher that things are not going to go your way, as opposed to working or associating with someone inside the faith of Jesus. You have a better chance that things are going to go well. And that's the life lesson. And I went to see my pastor yesterday, and again, he was so helpful. He prayed over me, and I'm not ashamed. I cried on his shoulders. I cried, and I told him, I'm afraid. I'm alone. And I'm really scared. And I said to him, I know that it's my lack of faith. You know, it says in the Bible, God takes care of the sparrows. Don't you think he'll take care of you? And I know that I should hold that in my heart, and I'm trying to, but there's that doubt. And, you know, so like, I'm afraid. And he says, Michael, it's not that you have lack of faith. We're all at different stages in our faith, and we're growing. And, you know, so. So Saturday, I was strong in my belief to get my apartment, to make the decision to leave. And then, of course, yesterday and today is the grieving process and the letting go of the anger and the acceptance that, hey, it just didn't go the way you wanted, and you're just going to have to rebuild. And that's what this is for me. My rebuilding starts June 10th. That's when I move into my new home. That is step one. And I know that I'm not alone. Truly, I'm not alone. Not only do I have Jesus, not only do I have Jehovah God, I've got a pastor that cares about me. There's a congregation that I know that I can reach out to. I have my friend Tiffany in Arizona, my Facebook friend, that has been there for me, speaking over the phone just now. I mean, we just started talking over the phone, and she's been very supportive. And if you're listening, Tiffany, or you will listen, thank you. So I know, and I have my son in New York that has my back. So I know that I'm not alone. And I know that I will make new friends. And I know that I will get a new job. Or I can even change fields. I know that I'm a smart guy. I know that I'm a responsible guy. So, you know, guys like me don't wind up being out of work forever and being on welfare and homeless. It just doesn't happen. I have too much drive. I've got too much history. My only biggest concern is my health. I got to get some things cleaned up. You know, I'm hoping it's just nerves. But now, you know, it could be a blessing that this job is ending, because now I get to see the doctors that I feel I need to see. And if I need to get any repairs done, I could get the repairs done, then be able to go out into the workforce and be ready for, you know, basically any kind of job in my field or outside of my field. So, you know, this could all be a blessing. This could all be a blessing that finally I've reached a point where I need to move on with my life, and I need to get out of an environment that has become so toxic that I know it's holding me. I know it's holding me back. And now I will be able to focus on me and what I need to focus on, and focus on my faith, focus on healing things that have happened to me in my childhood, focus on letting go of my losses, concentrating on the wins. And there's been wins. There's been lots of wins. And getting that focus again is going to be pivotal to what direction my life takes for however long. And sometimes I feel like, why am I being kept here? Am I being kept here, or is it just, you know, it's free will, and God doesn't intervene like that? Because I ask myself, you know, why Why do I have to stay here? I mean, Jesus asked that question. How long must I be among you? And I feel the same way. How long, really, do I need to be here? Do I really have a purpose on the human level? Do I really need to be Michael B. anymore? How long? Or does God truly just step out and say, well, you know, here, dude, I gave you the blueprint. Gave you the blueprint. You didn't follow it. Hey, you know, there you go. Or does he show you the way? Does he show you the plan? Is this really a life lesson for me to really learn from? And if I take it to heart, will things improve for me? Will I be happy? Will I make my mark in the world? And I don't know, I'm not asking for a Donald Trump level, but well, can I leave something that somebody will remember? Hey, Michael B. did good. Michael B. helped me somehow, some small way in my life. He left a good impression. Or do I just fade away, unremembered, unforgotten, and, you know, dust in the wind, right? Just dust in the wind. And the funny thing is, why do I stress over this? What is my worst scenario? I die, I leave this place, and, you know, some believe you go to heaven right away. Some believe you die and you lie in wait if you hear the trumpet blast, if you're on the list of the book of life to continue, or I'm just maggot food. And all of these things in my head, my 52-year history goes away, and who gives a damn? Does it really matter in the scheme of things what anybody thinks of Michael B.? Is it going to matter when I'm dead? And even if I'm a soulic entity, even if I'm an angel, even if I'm able to touch someone, touch some human, save them in a car wreck, we hear stories of that, or some deal. Will I get, if my consciousness goes on, will I give a damn about what happened to me in this body of Michael B.? Will I even give a crap? So, in the scheme of things, why the anxiety? Why the pain? Why the fear? Why the anger? Why? Because right now, that's all I have. All I have in this present moment is the despair and the fear and the hurt and the pain. And on the other side of that coin, all I have is the level of faith that I have right now that I'm going to prevail. I'm going to persevere. And keeping the faith that good times are ahead. This is a speed bump. Well, this is a pothole, if you will. This is a pothole right now. This is a traffic jam right now. My air conditioning broke, and it's 105 degrees right now. And I'm not moving. I'm in a place of a void. Time has stopped. Well, I think that's enough about me. I'm just going to touch on a couple of things that's happening out there. And then I'm going to stop the show. I'm not going to make the whole 45 minutes. And I haven't prepared anything for this week. So, like, I don't know what this week is going to look like. I hope you check in. Because my show, you know, once I get past this speed bump and, you know, once I move in into my new apartment, I should really be full blast June 12th. So, the next couple of weeks, It may be kind of spotty. It may be okay. I mean, we'll see. I just hope you hang with me. If you value my message and if you value my show, I hope you don't give up on me. And as I'm trying, which is why I'm doing radio again, I'm trying not to give up on humankind and just say F it and let it all go as whatever it should go, and not try to help people see what I see, if there's any worth. So Donald Trump begins his Middle East tour, and he signs a military contract with Saudi Arabia in the so-called fight against terrorism. You really got to be kidding me. Donald Trump pushed for that 28-page report that implicates Saudi Arabia in the 9/11 attack that left over 3,000 Americans dead. And you want to sell our weapons to that country. And our government wants to continue to call Saudi Arabia our ally, when indeed, if we are accepting that 28-page report that implicates Saudi Arabia in the 9/11 attacks, why aren't we declaring war on those people? The least of it, why aren't we shutting down business with them? Why aren't we freezing their assets, not taking their oil, and say, you know what, Saudi Arabia, have a nice day. Have fun with that. Why are we selling? Because, you know what, folks, I'm going to tell you why. And this is what, this was the win-win in voting for Donald J. Trump. This was the win-win. He was either going to be 100% all the way Americana, he was going to be all the way the man of justice, he was going to be all the way the man to clean house, he was going to be all the man to fight the good fight for us, and to fight his darndest, despite a hostile Congress, despite a hostile media. He was going to fight the fight to do the best he can to redirect this country towards a God-fearing, constitutional republic the way it was intended to be. But I'm seeing certain moves like this one that says, yo, what's up? And it seems to me he's just playing the game. He's keeping that relationship with Saudi Arabia flying, selling them more weapons. I mean, the man's all about women's rights. You know, he talked about he's not a misogynist, and I don't think he is. I mean, was he a player? Yeah, well, what man in his position wouldn't be a player? Who wasn't? Shoot, for a time, I was a player. You don't think I was doing 2-3 women at the same time? Jeez. When I met my soon-to-be ex-wife, I was seeing 2 women. And I saw long-term aspirations with my soon-to-be ex-wife, and I dumped them both because I didn't believe in stringing them along. And I believed that if I saw something long-term in this, I should give it my all, and I cut them loose. But who hasn't been a player in their day? And he's selling our weapons to the ultra misogynist country, deepest in Sharia law. Treat women and homosexuals like dirt. Daily executions and imprisonments by the most disgusting and barbaric way of throwing people off of rooftops and burning people alive and stoning people, and Donald Trump is making deals selling them our weapons. Seriously. And I'm supposed to be on board with that. And I'm supposed to say, that's great, Donald. Thanks, bro. You're with us, man. I'm with my president. That's a great thing. Oh, yeah. Sell them more of our weapons. So then that they can move them on to different terrorist groups. And we know that they're doing that. We know that they're involved. And we're deepening our military relationship with a country like that, that socially is still living in the Stone Ages, and Trump said he was better than that. And then what? And then you go off to Israel, and you're going to make a bunch of promises to them too, right? You've got their back. You're in their corner. How can you be in their corner and sell Saudi Arabia more weapons? How can you be in Israel's corner? You know Islam wants to destroy the nation of Israel. They've declared war. Saudi Arabia is like the most hardcore Muslim country there is. And you're selling them all weapons. I just can't. I just can't. Can't. I cannot accept that. And then we had a Syrian government convoy bombed by our military, and the story by the mainstream media is that, well, they got too close to our troops and they got threatened. Well, the way it's explained on the alt media, there's like this 35-mile zone belonging to these troops, and the Saudi Arabian, the Syrian convoy came within 18 miles of it. 18 freaking miles, and that's a threat. How the hell can the Syrian government convoy be a threat when they are fighting ISIS along with Russia and allegedly along with the United States of America? How the hell does that make sense? How can anyone explain to me that it makes sense to destroy a Syrian convoy aimed at taking out these so-called Syrian rebels, which everyone, unless you're just watching the three news networks, I mean, if that's all you're doing, you wouldn't know, understand that the Syrian rebels are really ISIS. And that if Assad falls involuntarily, that those people are going to move in. The way they moved into Libya, the way they moved in temporarily in Egypt, and on and on and on. So, some of these decisions on foreign policy really, really has me concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, America's foreign policy reflects global foreign policy. And I'm sorry, folks, but those are NWO moves, as far as I'm concerned. And I just can't go along with that. And I'm going to end the show in a couple of minutes because I got to get to work. So, you know, and James Comey, he's agreed to testify sometime after Memorial Weekend. I guess that's something to look forward to. I think that man's in a lot of trouble. Unless, of course, you know, Attorney General Jeff Sessions lets him go. I think Comey is in a lot of trouble. I mean, he's either fabricated a memo or he lied to Congress under oath May 3rd, stating that he has not been approached by anybody to stop an investigation for political reasons, that no one leaned on him. Now we have this memo that Trump asked him to stop the investigation for political reasons. I mean, this is not good. This is not good. And if Trump lets this man off the hook, and ultimately, I don't want to hear about, oh, it's a decision of the Attorney General. That's a bunch of crap, all right? Trump is the CEO of America. I'm sorry, the way we held Obama responsible for Holder and Lynch and everybody else, Trump is responsible for what anybody in his cabinet does. That doesn't make him culpable. Like, you know, let's say somebody, you know, committed fraud or whatnot unto him. That doesn't mean he created the fraud too. But what that means is he's responsible for removing that person or having that person arrested, having that person face justice. That's what I mean by responsibility. That Trump is ultimately responsible. And he, at this point, cannot let anybody off the hook. It's going to ruin him. It's going to destroy him. And now, you know, he has no choice about the special investigator, whatever that's going to bring. And I'll tell you what. And unless I've been really wrong, I think there's going to be no evidence shown. Trump is going to be exonerated from all wrongdoing. They're not going to have cause for impeachment. And then when that final decision is made, Donald Trump has to get some people arrested, get some people tried and convicted for whatever's out there. Treason, sedition, fraud, perjury, obstruction of justice, whatever is on the legal table, he's got to make it happen. And he's got to go all the way to the end zone, or he will be ruined. He'll be ruined. So, my name is Michael B. And for those of you that hung in there listening to this, I thank you very much. And you know, for those of you that don't like me and are just waiting to put up some nasty comments on Facebook, you can. I'm not going to respond to you. I'm too tired. I'm not interested in fighting with anyone. I ask you for some compassion. And for those of you that do like me, I do ask you for your prayers. I do ask you for your support. And if you feel like giving me some words of inspiration, it would be very helpful at this point in my life. And, you know, I'll probably be back tomorrow. Again, I don't know what I'm going to have prepared. It won't be another crying session. This is it about my personal life, okay? Because you don't need to know that stuff. So my name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. And I will be back on possibly tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central.